You know, when my kids were young, they used to love to play basketball. At least three of the four. Eric, not so much. But the other kids loved to play basketball. Now, I never liked to play basketball. But I did like shooting baskets. So if I practiced, I could get pretty good at shooting baskets. You know, I was able to challenge them at horse, and every once in a while I'd win. I'd do pretty good. But I taught the kids three fundamental things that are needed for success when shooting a basketball. And when I did that, they were able to develop pretty good shooting skills. So I'm going to tell you what those are in a minute. But the Lord showed me, and why am I talking about basketball? Well, the Lord showed me that these three things are the basic necessities for success, not just shooting baskets, but anything and everything we attempt to do as human beings. These three concepts are so vital to everything of importance that needs to be accomplished, and they're going to be our theme for this year at Sanium Chapel for 2018. These three concepts are focus, form, and follow through. Focus, form, and follow through. Now, they are essential for success in anything that you do. Now, basketball shooting is just one example. For instance, if you want to shoot a basket, you have to have the right focus if you're going to make a reasonable number of them. You can't just look up at the rim and chuck it. You have to focus on where you're going to put it. You want to know exactly where you want that ball to go. And you don't have a lot of time to do it. So you got to get your focus and you got to shoot it. Now, for me, if I wanted to do it, I don't know how it's supposed to be done. This is how I did it. I focused on the front edge of the rim, and then I would try to put it right over that edge. And so once you get your focus right, the next thing that happens is you have to have the right form. If you're going to be reasonably successful, you have to have good form. You have to do it the right way. If you don't have the correct mechanics, say your feet are all cattywampus or your wrists twist one way or the other, your aim is not going to be true. So you can have all the right focus in the world, but if your mechanics are messed up, it's not going to get there. The third concept we talked about is going to be follow through. Now, when you're shooting a basket, the arms and the hands have to follow through, and the fingers have to drop off like that. If they don't drop off like that, what's going to happen? Clank. It's going to clank off the front of the rim every time. You're going to come up short. So you got to have follow through. Now, if you can maintain focus, use the right form, and follow through like you're supposed to, what do you hear? Swish. That's a good sound, right? Swish. But those three keys to success are essential, for whatever you're going to do. So you want to get in better shape. Anybody want to get in better shape? Well, what you got to do is focus on your goal. You have to use a proven method of exercise. That's form. You have to do it the right way. And you have to follow through. You can't just talk about it or dream about it. You have to get up and do it and keep with it. Maybe you want to learn something new, a language or something. You have to focus on it. You have to use the right form, and you have to follow through. Maybe you want to lose a bunch of weight. Determine your goal. Focus on your goal. Don't get distracted. Do it the right way. That's form. And follow through. That means don't let anything stop you. You will get her done. If you embrace all three of these, you're going to succeed. Now, on the other hand, if you ignore any of those three, you're also going to come up short. You're going to fail. If you fail to define your goal, you're never going to get to your goal. But if you focus, but you don't do it the right way, you fail in your form, you don't do things the way they need to be done, and you're not going to make it either. If you focus and you do it the right way, but you don't follow through, you tire of the process, you give up, that's not going to get you to your goal either. Any worthy endeavor requires all three parts of that, including the most important thing, which is your spiritual walk. And of course, that's what I'm focusing on, because we don't care about sports today. We care about our spiritual walk. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about those three concepts. We're going to see that our spiritual walk also requires focus. It requires the right form, doing things God's way. And it requires following through, being doers of the word and not hearers only, until we see Jesus face to face. Now, this morning we'll be looking at focus. What should our focus be, and how can we keep that focus day in, day out, till we are with Jesus? I love the sound of a little baby in church. Now, in basketball or golf or baseball or archery or shooting, you have to focus on what? Your target. All right, you have to have a target. So in those things, you have some sort of projectile. You have a ball, an arrow, a bullet, whatever it may be. You have to decide where you want it to go, where you want it to end up. Likewise, for us, whatever we want to accomplish, we have to first define that objective. That's our target. That's our goal. A spiritual walk is no different. You have to have a clear objective to get there. If you don't, your spiritual life is going to do just like that basketball and clink off the rim. We don't want to do that. So let's look at what the Word of God says should be our focus, should be our objective. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Fixing our eyes. That sound like focus? It does. That does sound like focus. The word "fix" in this verse comes from the Greek word aphorao, aphorao, and it means to consider something attentively. It means that if you're going to look away from all other things and focus your attention on one solitary object. The writer of Hebrews here is telling us not to let the things of this world distract us from the one thing that is of primary importance, the one thing that is essential to your spiritual well-being. He's teaching us keep our full attention, our complete focus on the most important thing, on Jesus. Another scripture that uses that word "fix," 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Now, this is a different word for "fix" here that is translated "fix." This one in the Greek is skopeo, and it means to take aim at. Remember, we've talked about targets. Paul is telling us, set your sights on Jesus. Don't look to the left or to the right. And by definition, our focus must be singular. We can't have a divided focus and still be on target. A divided focus is no focus at all. If you're going to be on target, we have to keep our eye on that target, our focus on that goal or that target. Now, anybody ever heard of Luciano Pavarotti? Okay, you like opera singers, see? Yeah. Now, you should all know who Luciano Pavarotti is. Okay. This is what he said. He said, "When I was a boy, my father, who was a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Modena, Italy, took me as a pupil, and I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a singer or should I be a teacher? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair." Well, he chose one. He says, "It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. And it took another 7 years to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now," he says, "I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it." And this is the key, commitment. That's the key. Choose one chair. Choose one chair. To focus on Jesus is to choose one chair, not to ride the fence, not to fall in between the world and Jesus. The one thing that has eternal rewards, guaranteed satisfaction. What does it mean in practical terms for us to fix our eyes or focus on Jesus? Are we supposed to hang portraits of him everywhere, every room, and stare at them all day long? Or maybe conjure up some mental image and we're going to sit and we're going to ponder that image all day long? Of course, now that's silliness. But what does it really mean in practical ways to focus or fix our eyes on Jesus? The first way that the Word teaches we can fix our eyes on Jesus is to focus on loving Jesus. Now, if you're taking notes this morning, write down this. This is your target. This is our target. This is what we want to focus on this year. We want to focus on loving Jesus. Loving Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Matthew 22:35, Jesus was being asked in a question. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is focus. Love the Lord your God with everything in you. It is from this greatest commandment that all the other aspects of godliness are going to find their source in loving him. Now, if we're focused on appeasing God by trying to be good, I got to be good. Okay, come on. You can do this. You got to be good. If you do that, you're always going to fall short, aren't you? But if we focus on loving God, then all that right living, all those good results are going to emanate from that reality. The more we love God, and Jesus is God, right? The more we love him, the more our very nature is going to reflect him in all that we do. This is what he wants of us. He wants us to focus on loving him. That should be our primary goal. That should be our target, to love Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Is to love him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. The Bible is clear that that is our objective. That is our focus. It should be the focus of everyone who loves Jesus, who wants to serve Jesus, that's concerned about their spiritual life. But there's a problem that arises, and it's within our natural selves that we find this just isn't possible. Our natural hearts are resistant to loving God. The heart we're born with just doesn't have it within it to really love God as it should. So in order to do that, we have to have a heart transplant. And you know that? There has to be a heart transplant. And if you're going to have a heart transplant, you have to have a heart donor. Can't have a transplant without a donor. But fortunately, God has given a solution for that problem of a donor. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Is that good news? You know, the heart he offers is a heart capable of loving him, where our natural heart cannot really love him as much as we should. When God looked down on his creation of humanity, he saw only a heart transplant's going to do. And Jesus said, take my heart. Take my heart. And the Father did that. On an operating table in the shape of a cross, the great physician lifted the heart of Jesus out and the nature of Jesus out and offer them to the world. That new heart from God makes it possible to love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Jesus knew that our natural heart would never sufficiently love God. Now you can take your old natural heart and you can bring it to church. You can sit it in a pew and you can teach it to sing and you can teach it to pray. You can pretend that it's a good little Christian heart. But without that heart transplant, without that transformation, it's still the same old, wicked heart that you were born with. But when you receive Christ's heart, Christ's nature, and Christ himself by his Holy Spirit, then you'll receive the desire and the ability to love God with all your heart, with your new transformed heart. The Holy Spirit is calling on us to focus on living in an intimate and loving relationship with God, knowing the depth and delight and being loved by Jesus, our Lord and King, and loving him in return. Now, no matter how weak or strong you feel, and regardless of your past or your personality, you can develop a passion, a true love for Jesus. With a new heart from Jesus, we are supernaturally empowered to truly love God. Romans 5:5 says it this way. It says, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." With that new heart, we are instructed and enabled to focus on loving Jesus. But there are some real enemies to that love. Things try to distract us from that focus, don't they? And one of those can be money. Jesus recognized that, and he gave us a warning in Matthew 6:24. He said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money," he said. The enemy will always try to divide our affections. He's been using that same scheme, trying to make us lose focus since Adam and Eve. So if loving God is God's purpose, then the enemy's going to use every tactic that he can come up with to try to distract us from focusing on that one objective. We can't let that happen. We have to choose and fight to maintain the right focus in our life. More than trying to be a good person, more than towing the line and overcoming the weaknesses of our own efforts, God says, "Let me give you a heart transplant, then focus on loving me and the rest will follow." Psalms 105:4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." Now, to seek his presence is to focus on loving him, to want to be in his presence. Once we focus on, once we fix our eyes on loving Jesus, he says to do something else. Not only love Jesus, but to love like Jesus. If you're taking notes, write that one down. We are to not just love Jesus, but love like Jesus. Back to our passage in Matthew 22, verse 37 again says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Then in verse 39, Jesus says this, "A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Notice that he says this command is equally important. It's equally important because it's essentially the same thing. Because when we love like Jesus, that is to love other people, we are actually showing love to Jesus. Amen? Because when we love the things he loves, we are showing love to him. Jesus illustrated that in his parable about a good Samaritan. The good Samaritan was a man who went out of his way. He got off his donkey. He risked being robbed himself to help someone from another ethnic group of which his people had no dealings. He put himself out. He spent his time, he spent his money, and he showed tremendous compassion to love like Jesus. And Jesus asks us to do the same thing. 1 John 4:20 says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. And he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." Verse 21, "And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." So we see that our focus must be on loving God and loving others as well. They go hand in hand, Those should be our targets for our church, for our lives personally in 2018 and from here on. We need that. We need that focus. We need to focus on loving Jesus and loving like Jesus. If we do that, we will be successful. As an example of the importance of keeping our focus on Jesus, we're going to look at something that happened in Matthew chapter 14. Now, Jesus had just miraculously fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, plus the women and children that were with those men. And in Matthew 14, starting in verse 22, it says this: "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, where he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Verse 28, "And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Now Peter got out of the boat. He took a step of faith. And he did pretty good as long as he kept his focus on Jesus. But then what happened? He looked around. He lost his focus. He began to look at the circumstances, at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. And he goes, "What am I doing?" And he began to sink. This is an illustration for us just how vital it is to keep our focus on Jesus. We, like Peter, sometimes take our focus off Jesus. We begin to focus on the waves, the wind, the things that are going on in our lives. And if we do that, we too can become overcome with the cares and worries of life. Many here and some at home today are going through some rough waters. Pains and financial things and on and on and on it goes. No one knows what lies ahead for any of us. We all have our hopes, our dreams, but things don't always turn out the way we would like, do they? Unexpected problems are going to arise. Big challenges are inescapable. They're just part of living in this broken, fallen world. Health problems are going to happen. Money problems are going to happen. Health problems, I said, family problems, relational problems, the list goes on and on. It can be overwhelming at times if we don't keep our focus on Jesus. When these rough waters come, and they're going to, it can cause us to panic, and it causes us to begin to sink in despair. We don't want to sink into despair. Amen? Our choice is to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, keep our focus on loving Him through whatever life brings. And as difficult as it is, we need to remember Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things, everybody say all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So many times we don't see how this can possibly do any good. But God is in control, and He will make good out of it. We must keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our focus on loving Jesus and loving like Jesus. When we focus on Jesus, there is peace, so we can trust Him through the storm. When we focus on Jesus, there is blessing, so we can delight in Him through the storm. When we focus on Jesus, there is light, so we can follow Him through the storm. When we focus on Jesus, there is power, so we can wait on Him through the storm. And when we focus on Jesus, there is all truth, so we can learn from Him through the storm. There's always something to learn. When we focus on Jesus, there is grace, so we can receive from Him through the storm. And when we focus on Jesus, there is joy, so we can rejoice in Him through the storm. When we focus on Jesus, there is unlimited wealth, so we can depend on Him through the storm. And one more. When we focus on Jesus, there is strength, so we can lean on Him through the storm. Here's the good news for 2018 and beyond. Everything we need is found in Jesus, and in loving Jesus, and in loving like Jesus. Keep that your focus. Make that your focus. Here's a passage from Psalm 46 I often read to people who are in a hospital or suffering in some way. Psalm 46, 1 through 3 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Peter saw the waters roaring and foaming. He turned his eyes from Jesus. We have to remember to keep focusing on Jesus. And we must also face this problem, and that is we have to avoid focusing on ourselves. Philippians 2:21 says this, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not for those of Jesus Christ. Wow. Everyone? Let's not have that be true of us, okay? Let's focus on loving Jesus and loving others this year and from here on out. Let's focus on what it means for us as we go through the storms of life. For somebody here this morning, it might need to start with that heart transplant that we talked about. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. That's where it has to start. The Holy Spirit prompting you to come to Him and receive that heart transplant. Like we read in Ezekiel, He said, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. Someone may be here this morning who needs that heart transplant. I want to open up the altars this morning and give you an opportunity to come to the cross for that spiritual operation. For others this morning, I want to open up the altars for us, for everyone. Give us an opportunity to renew our focus. Has your focus been on circumstances? Has your focus been on the troubles? Has your focus been on money problems? Has your focus been on your health? Has your focus been on your family issues and not on Jesus? I want to open up the altars this morning. We're going to sing the song that we sang earlier about coming to the altar. And I just want to give people an opportunity to come and just spend a few minutes before the Lord renewing their focus. When Jesus saw that Peter was sinking, what did He do? He just reached out His hand and gave him a boost. For some of us this morning, we may need a boost. Do you need a boost this morning? If you can't kneel, you can also just sit in the front pew, but just make a step towards what God wants to do in you this morning is a big, big thing. It's be obedient to Him if He's talking to you about that. And I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Cheryl now, and I'm going to grab a bottle of oil, and if you want to be anointed with oil this morning for healing or for whatever other cause, we will do that as well. But I want to open the altars up and allow you to make a move to get your focus on those things that we talked about. Loving Jesus, number one, and loving others. That is our focus. That is our target.
Fly across the United States. Of course, there's time zone changes. And this time they had us fly to Phoenix in order to get to Alabama. And they do not fall back in Arizona. So they were an hour ahead. So here I have my watch, and I can move it ahead an hour. And then when we get to Alabama, it's another hour ahead. So then I move ahead 2 hours. Well, then if we go over to Atlanta, Georgia, it's even an hour more. So we change it one more time. And then we fly back and it's changing it. And then I get back to Portland and it's changing it again. And then we flew back to Minnesota and it's changing it again 2 hours. Okay, so you see, I'm changing my watch a lot. The difference, though, is this little device tells me time, but it does it automatically. It's dependent on a source. A satellite, a cell tower, the internet. And no matter where I go, where I travel, I can look at this and it's accurate. This, on the other hand, is dependent on me to do something. And it's not going to work, folks, if we continue to think it's got to be me that changes. I got to be the one to fix it. I got to be the one to do it. If we are connected to the source, the peace will be there. The joy will be there. The supernatural strength will be there. The guidance and the wisdom will be ours. We won't have to fiddle and figure and try and keep up and, oh, where am I at? And it'll automatically be there because we are connected to the source. And this is what Pastor is talking about tonight, or this morning. Change my heart, oh God. I choose you. I choose one chair. My focus is on you. I'm not going to sit halfway in between the world and what you want. And that's why it's so important as we commit this year. We ask the Lord to alter us. We make time for this. Change my heart. Alter me, Lord. May I be dependent on you and not trying to fiddle and figure in my own strength. So would you hear what the Spirit is saying today and come?